This show is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Network. Hi, my name is Felice Gerwitz, and I'm the host of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show. I've met some amazing godly people. The Lord put these people in my path, and I can't wait to introduce you. I invite you to connect with all of us on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network on Facebook. And now, let's get started.
Hi, and welcome to those of you who are joining us today. My name is Felice Gerwitz, and this is an episode of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show. And today, I have a very special guest that I want you all to meet. And he is an author who is currently still teaching, and he wrote a book called Perfectly Incorrect, Why Common Core is Psychologically and Cognitively Unsound. And today, my guest is Terry Marcel. Welcome, Terry.
Hi, how are you? Glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you, especially as I met you rather by accident. I was talking to a friend of mine, and she asked me what I thought about Common Core, and I think I did a mini rant. So she said, do I have the man for you to meet? And she was right. Well, Terry, you have, really put your neck out. Let's face it, you are a teacher, or you've been teaching for 41 years. Since the 1980s, you have taught in mostly U.S. embassy and consulate schools around the world. And currently, you are back in the U.S. In Connecticut, and you found out about Common Core and didn't just say, okay, well, you know, I'm almost retired, and so I think I'll just go on my merry way and keep my mouth shut and just, toe the line. But no, instead, you have written this very informative book. So, you know, first, tell us a little bit about what spurred you on to write this book.
Well, we teachers, we go to these things called professional staff development, and we started to go to PDF couple of years ago, and we started to hear about this thing called the Common Core. And back then, for most of us, it was an opaque, it was a gray thing. We didn't know exactly what it was. All we knew is that 46 of the states had signed on, and, you know, on and on and on. But the more it came toward us, the more it came in focus, we started to see, depending on what grade level you teach, for example, kindergarten teachers realized that they basically had eliminated kindergarten. In other words, formal instruction starts, it used to start in grade one, but basically kindergarten had been hijacked. So they were concerned about their mm-hmm. things. Secondary teachers, they had their own, you know, axe to grind, and we saw what an awful thing, and please, I do mean to emphasize that word, what an
wow.
awful thing educationally speaking. And as a psychology teacher, I saw all the warts, if you will, about how it was not good at all for children, hence
wow.
the title.
Well, you know what, for those of you listening, there are links in the show notes page if you go to ultimatehomeschoolradioshow.com and scroll down, and you will see a link to the show called Perfectly Incorrect. Terry has a master's degree in psychology by the University of Hartford with a concentration in children's cognitive and psychopathology of childhood. And you can also find the book on Amazon. Just search for the short title of the book, which is Perfectly Incorrect, and you will find it there. So, Terry, you know, you decided that this had a lot of issues. One of the things that you did on your website, and if you want to find out more about Terry, his website is commoncorenot.com, just spelled exactly like that, no spaces. Again, there'll be a link on the show notes page. But one of the things that you did that I absolutely loved was you have one page of what's wrong with Common Core, because a lot of times when I'm looking up information, I've done several shows on the topic And we are also going to have a show on current issues in the Constitution where we're going to go more into in-depth on, you know, exactly what the issues are that face parents and educators and students, whether you're in the schools or homeschooled. And, you know, there on your website you have just a one page, whereas I've had to weed through, you know, tens of hundreds of pages of information. And a lot of people, you know, give you a play-by-play, which I think is, you know, a good thing to an extent. But people really want to know, you know, what is it that I need to do? And, you know, you have, by way of, if I could, go through a little bit of your table of contents here. Can I do that?
Sure. You know, what might even be an equally good idea is the point-by-point of the one page, what's wrong with the Common Core.
Okay. And that way. Okay. So, you know, on this one page, Terry has listed out, you know, what the problem is, and especially with the Common Core standards for K through 6. And, you know, before we get into this, Terry, because we will get into it a little bit more in current issues and the Constitution show, but what did you find particularly harmful with the standards developmentally, especially for K through 3?
They are developmentally inappropriate in substantial ways. And as I mentioned before, for example, kindergarten has largely disappeared. And just to give some evidence here, a deep well of early childhood experts have gone on record, 500 plus, have gone on record as being concerned that the Common Core shows little or no understanding that children are not miniaturized adults who are capable of accomplishing many of the things called for at various levels. In fact, the first four words of this 500 early child experts, you know, when they made their policy statement, are as follows. We have grave concerns. I mean, when 500 early childhood experts can agree to those first five words, that's some doing.
Okay, and so these were psychologists? They were not teachers, or was it a mix of both?
It was a mix of everybody. There were psychiatrists, psychologists, developmental psychologists, early child professors in colleges and universities who specialize in early childhood education. And they did this in March of 2010, just as the Common Core was announced. So they were out of the starting gate. They came out very strongly against it.
Yeah, and see, that's surprising. Because I, you know, even we keep up with things as homeschoolers, and I just really hadn't heard a lot about that. So that goes, your book goes into that as well. And then you also go into chapter two, which is one size does not fit all. And there you give a synopsis of the Common Core, how it directly contradicts research on how people think and learn.
Correct. Let me just give you, I have a history degree on the bachelor's level, so I can't resist. I have to put a little bit of immigration statistics in here. At this moment in time, in 2015, there are close to 15% of all children in America who were not born in the United States. And I include in that figure undocumented immigrants, okay? And I know everyone is thinking of one certain group, okay, from Central America and Mexico, but it's far, far more than that. You know, Vietnamese and people coming in from the Middle East because of all the, you know, the political wars, et cetera, et cetera. At no other time in United States history, well, I need to check myself, in 1890, there were 14% of the people in the United States that were not born in the United States itself. So the diversity of America alone, you know, just that one statistic all by itself is overwhelming. You know, you have as a subset, you have English language learners, you have special needs kids, it's very, very true that one size does not fit all. And in particular, poverty. Poverty is the big thing in Chapter 2. There is a overwhelmingly irrefutable evidence that the achievement gap, which we hear so much in the public schools, almost, and hold on to your hat here now, there's plenty of evidence to back this up, almost certainly starts in the womb and infancy. Now, and I want to emphasize, we are not talking about race. We are not talking about ethnicity. We are talking about fetal exposure to intrusions from the external environment. Well, there's a mouthful. What about smoking moms? You know, mothers-to-be that smoke. We're talking about, housing insecurity. In other words, a lot of intrauterine, we're talking about, I'm taking a long time to get to the point, stressor hormones that are in utero due to low socioeconomic status and poor health behavior, as I just mentioned, of mothers-to-be. And on and on. I mean, you have, and even after the baby is born in infancy, which is basically birth to 1 year, we have developmental delays because of what went on in utero. We're talking about debilitating nutrition, food and housing insecurity, and then, possibly emotional toxicity, in early childhood. So, we public school teachers are so weary of hearing about how we are the ones that are at fault because of the achievement gap. Well, it's just not true.
And so Common Core was supposed to fix this gap. I mean, there's been a lot of things which we won't go into right now, but I'm just going to throw out like the No Child Left Behind and some other, incentives from past presidents. And so the idea was to get all kids up to grade level, or at least if not able to do that, we were supposed to, keep kids from failing. And I know for a fact, because I was an educator very briefly for a few years, that we were highly discouraged from failing a child. And we were supposed to, put these things into place for high success. And, whether or not the child could pass the test, I taught special ed. So if I staffed anyone out, which I did, I got in big trouble. Didn't know you could get in trouble for putting a kid back into the regular classroom when he did not fit into special ed.
Yeah.
Just a lot of things were happening even way back in the late 70s when I taught. So now Common Core is supposed to be this approach to fix it all. And you go into that in Chapter 2. In Chapter 3, you talk about Common Core as an upward spiraling staircase of abstraction. I don't mean to laugh here, but it's just, just blows my mind that we are going to be working on abstract concepts, especially young, which you did cover. So tell us a little bit about what Chapter 3 goes into.
Okay, I'm going to invoke a name here, Professor Dan Willingham. He's a cognitive neuroscientist, very well respected in his field. He's at the University of Virginia, and I'm basically quoting him now. He said, "So why don't like students like school?" And then he goes on to say that the greatest reason is that schools overemphasize and require students to think abstractly. And he goes on to say that even for a minority of students who will eventually become naturally intuitive people, thinking abstractly is something that none of our brains are designed to do or to be good at or to even enjoy. And to digress a little bit here, I'm pausing here. Only about 30% at most of the population, and I'm not just talking about school children, I'm talking about the entire population, can think abstractly in a natural sense. For example, Stephen Jobs thought abstractly in terms of let's do this and let's, what if we try that, on and on and on. Thomas Edison would be an abstract thinker. Stephen King, most inventors, are intuitive. They're abstract. In other words, their brain's first response to incoming information is to think about, well, what if we try this and what if we do that? In other words, they naturally engage in divergent thinking. They automatically connect the dots. Again, at the risk of being too repetitive here, only about 27% to 30% of the entire population does that naturally. The vast majority of us are what we would call concrete and sequential thinkers. In other words, our brains process information in a detail-oriented way. You know, pilots and surgeons and accountants and engineers, and you know, these people live and breathe details as they must. Whereas
right.
the go ahead. I'll.
Yeah,
I realize
so
what
I'm
talking
I think
too
I can,
much here.
I can get no. I think I can get you going on this, and we're going to take a real quick break, Terry. And when we come back, we'll pick up on more of what's in the book. Today I am interviewing author Terry Marcel, who is the author of Perfectly Incorrect, and we'll be right back.
My name is Felice Gerwitz, and I want to introduce you to my publishing company, Media Angels. I have a heart for homeschool families, and since 1994, I have poured my efforts into creating curriculum to support teaching science, especially from a creationist worldview to the homeschool community. My curriculum was selected by Kathy Duffy in her 101 Top Homeschool Picks. Another labor of love is a three-book novel series specifically for homeschoolers with a creation focus, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series that I co-authored with my daughter Christina. Media Angels represents uncompromising quality, not only with books, but with an online homeschool convention and this ultimate homeschool radio network with amazing show hosts. Along with books, Media Angels has produced an American history and an American government video series, as well as a family Bible study, Homeschooling with Proverbs. It has been my pleasure to mentor countless homeschool families and missionaries worldwide. I also enjoy mentoring aspiring authors with one-on-one coaching and the Information in a Nutshell series. If we haven't met, please reach out. I'd love to help you on your homeschooling journey, or if you have a book, help you getting that into print. I can be found on social media and look forward to meeting you. You can reach me at mediaangels.com. Thanks so much and hope to meet you soon.
Well, hi and welcome back. My name is Felice Gerwitz with the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show, and today with me is a very special guest who is the author of a book, Perfectly Incorrect. And Terry, you've been sharing with us some points from your book, and chapter 4 goes into the fact that, you know, really there has been no research to support the claim that Common Core is going to work. Is that true?
That's very true. In fact, if I know you complimented me on my one-page version of the book, and if I could give you a one-sentence version of the book, and here it is. There is no science behind the Common Core, and that would be it. For example, the Common Core de-emphasizes knowledge gathering for its own sake. In other words, they're constantly talking about skill building and problem solving and analytical strategies. There goes the abstract and intuitive thinking again. And unfortunately, the authors of the Common Core have missed the point that skill building and problem solving and analytical strategies for those 30% of the population that all that kind of thing comes naturally. You can't do any of that unless they are based on content knowledge. And
my own perspective of writing, I wrote a book on science fair projects, and it wasn't so much how to do a project, it was, you know, how to do a successful one and abstract so forth. But one of the biggest complaints I had from the parents was not so much, you know, the mechanics of the project. It was actually getting the child to come up with a viable project. You know, for example, making a volcano with baking soda and vinegar is not a science fair project type of a thing. But yet that's where the kids would gravitate, because that's a concrete thing. you know, they can see a little volcano kind of thing, and, you know, it explodes like a real volcano, so to speak. Of course,
right.
It doesn't, but you know what I'm saying here. And so that just, you know, substantiates. I mean, I've been working with parents for years on that one area, and it just seems like it is such a stumbling block for so many kids. And so here, you know, they're basing, you know, the entire curriculum, if you will, or you know, whatever this is, you know, like you said, into an area that only a small percentage of the people, obviously the authors, must think that way for them to be able to write this.
Yes, and therein lies a whole stream of conversation. The mm-hmm. authors of the Common Core were mostly highly intuitive college professors. There was not one K through 3 teacher. You know, let me just go back in time here. In 2009, in the summer of 2009, a group of highly intuitive college professorial type of people got together at airport hotels scattered all across the country, and they came out with this product. Well, guess what? When a bunch of intuitive people, overwhelmingly, I should slow down a bit here and say that overwhelmingly college professors are intuitive. And, I mean, we've all been there and done that, you know, not everybody's gone to college, but everybody who has gone to college knows that how abstract these individuals can be. And, you know, the jokes are plentiful about, you know, not being in contact with the real world. Well, what would happen if you took 135 of these intuitive people, put them together in various airport hotels scattered across the country, then take a wild guess at what product they're going to come up with? They're going to come up with an intuitive product, and they certainly did.
Right. And, you know, one of the things that I look at when I first heard about Common Core, and that was, you know, as a child who lived in New York, in third grade I moved to Canada where I did third through sixth grade at a parochial school, then moved back to the States, landed in Florida where I went to a public seventh through high school. You know, there were some gaps in my education. So when you hear the words Common Core, you're thinking, oh, you know, they're going to get down to some basics, so no matter where a kid moves, they would be on task. And when I looked at it closer, it totally blew me away that it was not at all what it appeared to be. It's way too difficult when they're younger, and then way too, maybe bringing down the top of the class to somewhere in the middle and trying to bring up the lower kids to somewhere in the middle and, you know, really failing on both extremes and those who are in the middle. Okay, well, let's move on to your chapter 5, and you do have more chapters. You've got the key shifts in the English language. Are cognitively unsound, and then you've got Chapter 6, which is Common Core Math, a story unto itself, which people will definitely need to get the book and look at that, and then your thoughts as you sum up your book here. So, you know, tell us, you know, what points in your book should we be looking out for in particular?
For anybody who buys the book, my favorite chapters are chapters 1 and 2, which obviously we already discussed, because, you know, chapters 1 and 2 are the base of the pyramid, if you will. If you understand chapters 1 and 2, and then what we just said with chapter 3 about the intuitive thinking and abstract thinking, you basically understand the remainder of the book, because when we get to chapter 5, which is ELA. Now, ELA, for your listeners, I'm sure they already know, means English and Language Arts. And they make three key shifts for the English Language Arts. And by the way, the supporters of the Common Core will keep telling you, oh, no, well, we're not dictating curriculum. Well, oh, really? If they're saying that we're making three key shifts in the English Language Arts, is that not curriculum? I mean, they're basically dictating to you that we're shifting in a major way. You know, we're going from, you know, point A to point B here. sorry, I lost the train of your thinking.
Well, you were saying that you were going back to your first two favorite chapters, and then also that the claims made about the language arts were troubling.
Yeah, they make here are the three shifts in short order. There's a shift towards more complex texts and their accompanying language. I'll come back to that in a second. And then there's this odd thing called the concept of close reading, and that means without any context around that. I'll come back to that also. And then there's a shift towards literary nonfiction. In other words, in K-5, the ratio between school-assigned fiction and nonfiction cannot go over 50-50%, 50%/50%. But wait, there's more. At the end of the 12th grade, that ratio from fiction to nonfiction, nonfiction must be 70% of all readings that are assigned. Well, that's based on nothing. That's based on no science at all. But let me go back to the first one, the need for complex texts. Curiously, the Common Core gives the reason why they give for this shift is they say that the level of school reading texts has gone precipitous, these are their words now, has gone precipitously down in the last 50 years. And interestingly, a very well-regarded research study, this was October 13th, the title is a mouthful here, I'll say it very quickly, Challenging the Research Base of the Common Core State Standards, a Historical Reanalysis of Text Complexity. I mean, again, that's a mouthful. But basically, the study, and it's really a seminal study, greatly respected, just about totally trashes the Common Core's shift towards more complex texts. The texts have not gone down. They've not even gone down at all, let alone gone down precipitously in the last 50 years. And the key shift number two, this is a real odd thing here. I say again, it's called close reading. Now, close reading, again, means without context. Now, candidly, it's a struggle to wrap your brain around this particular key shift, and I'm going to try to put it in as simple words as possible, or uncomplicated words as possible. The architects of the Common Core say that the informational texts, otherwise known as nonfiction, are more common in college and in life and in the workforce. And what they're wrong. They're just plain wrong. And I have to give a shout out here. There's a educational blogger for the Washington Post. Her name is Valerie Strauss, Strauss. And she has a column called The Answer Sheet. And on November 19th, 2013, she has a beautiful blog called The Common Core's Odd Approach to the Teaching of the Gettysburg Address. And just indulge me here a second. I'm going to read you just two sentences from that article. She says as follows, imagine learning about the Gettysburg Address without a mention of the Civil War, the Battle of Gettysburg, or why President Lincoln had traveled to Pennsylvania to make a speech. Well, that's the way a Common Core State Standards exemplar for extension, I'm not speaking clearly, exemplar for instruction from a company founded on three main core authors said it should be taught. So basically, you know, feel free to slow me down here because I get wound up here. Basically, with regards to the close reading, they're trying to teach something that's out of context from the subject matter.
That's crazy.
You cannot do it. In other words, for example, knowing that a letter was written by a Confederate private to his wife in New Orleans just after the Battle of Vicksburg won't help the student interpret the letter unless he knows of something about Civil War history. So
right,
you cannot, it, you know, it's almost like, Yeah. Okay. I get wound up.
Yeah. And we'll have those links in the show notes at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show.com, and then look for Perfectly Incorrect on that page. You know, Terry, it has been a pleasure talking to you. I think we could go on for another hour, and I'm so glad that you are going to be doing, you know, another session for us at Current Issues in the Constitution. Again, I'll have that show link there as well. And, you know, I just really appreciate the fact that you spent the time to put together a 621-page book that is on Kindle. For, as of this recording, around $3, I believe. And so that is available. So, again, there again will be a link on the website. If you're listening to this on iTunes or one of the other podcast players, just head over to Amazon.com and look up the book, Perfectly Incorrect. Terry, it has been a pleasure having you on, and I am sure that we will be keeping in touch and having you back again.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks so much for joining another episode of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show. Please connect with me, Felice Gerwitz, and all of our show hosts on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network on Facebook. Until next time, keep smiling.